In February of 2019, close friends of ours lost their daughter to a drug overdose. She was 28 years old and died at home. Her father found her in the bathroom upstairs. Gary and I were and are close friends. We worked together for 30 years, and I actually knew him before we began working together. Months after her passing, Gary was talking to me about giving away some of her personal items. And as we talked, he said, "We don't have anyone to leave our things to." Now, to confess to you that I can't remember what I said. More important was what I did not say. For I failed to recognize that what his comment really was. It was a cry for help, an expression of the grief that was inside him, that I was unable to recognize. I missed a chance to share in his grief, a grief that I truly didn't know or understand. And it wasn't until sometime later that I realized what he was saying. And it was then that I asked for forgiveness and recognized his grief. In our first reading this morning, the Lord told Jeremiah that his people should boast that they knew him, the Lord, and that he would show unfailing love. I wonder, how many other times have I failed to know others and to show them God's unfailing love through my words and through my actions? How about you? Today's text from Acts tells us how Paul came to know the people of Athens. They had many gods. And we read about how he connected with them and shared the message of the good news with them. And from this story, we can learn how to meet people where they are, to get to really know people. We must meet them where they are, but not where we are. You see, Paul was waiting for Silas and Timothy to join him. And while he was waiting, he walked around the city and saw that there were many idols to many different gods. Now, apparently there had been some sort of plague in Athens, and the people created gods to get rid of it. Now, that might seem foreign to our ways today, though I think honestly we may be plagued with our own idols. But that's a sermon for another time. As we read the text, we find that Paul was in the synagogue and in the marketplace. And in the synagogue, he argued with the Jews and with the God-fearers, because you see initially Christians would come to the synagogue to worship as well as their own gatherings. And then when he was in the marketplace, he argued with those who happened to be there. And some scoffed at his words, calling him a word scatterer. And others said he seemed to be proclaiming foreign gods. So they took him up to the Areopagus, which was the outdoor court of the city. And there they questioned him. You see, the people of Athens spent a lot of time discussing things. They had a thirst for new knowledge. And as I was preparing the message, I thought to myself, well, I guess today that would mean that all of us who are on social media are thirsting for knowledge, or we're reading about people who thirst to share what's going on in their lives. And Paul used his knowledge of the city to connect with the people. You see, he had been, while he was waiting, walking around the city and observing the customs and culture of the city. And he complimented them on being very religious. He said he had even seen an idol to the unknown God. And then he said he was going to explain to them about this unknown God that they were worshiping. And he went on to say that this God is so immense that he made heaven and earth and everything in them. This God didn't live in temples made with human hands. And he didn't need to be attended to by human hands. It was this God who had created life and breath and all things. And he had made all the races whose purpose was to search for him. And perhaps to reach out and actually find him. And this God, who is so immense, is also close to each one of us, for we are his children. So Paul shared the cosmic story of God and the close-up personal story of God. And the people listened. And some were convinced, and others were not. Paul was able to tell the Athenians about his and our God because he built up their trust in him. And if we're to do the same, what must we do? Well, I guess the first thing is we must be worthy of trust. I hadn't thought about it before, but boy, this is really a timely message. For trust is a quality that seems to be lacking today. So what is trust? Well, I've heard it defined this way. Trust is the emotional glue that draws you closer together with your friends, your family, and even with those with whom you come into contact with. Now, Proverbs 20, verse 6 says, many people claim to be loyal, but it is hard to find a trustworthy person. Now, that was written thousands of years ago, and yet we seem to have that same dilemma today, don't we? So who do you trust? And how do you find a trustworthy person? And more importantly, how do you and I become a trustworthy person so that people will trust us? How do we build trust? Well, I think there are three ways. First of all, we build it by being consistent. People don't wonder who it is they're going to meet from one day to the next. Will I meet the thoughtful person today, or will it be the thoughtless person today? Will it be Dr. Jekyll or Mr. Hyde? Secondly, we build trust by being trustworthy. We don't gossip. I recently heard someone define gossip or describe gossip as when we share information about something which we're not a part of or a solution to. And he finished up by saying, when people gossip to you, you can rest assured that they will gossip about you. Neither builds trust, does it? And finally, you build trust by being close, by spending time with people. Your time is more valuable than your money. Because if someone takes away your time, you have nothing else, do you? So your time is a valuable commodity. Distance creates distrust. Closeness creates trust. Time creates trust, or to say it another way, trust takes time. It takes a long time to build, and it can be lost like that. Paul spent time talking with many different people while he was in Athens. He was in the synagogue and in the marketplace. He connected with people where they were physically. And he used his learnings about their culture to be able to connect with them emotionally and spiritually. And you know, while God calls us to meet people where they are and to share our faith with them, it's not up to us to make people believe what we believe. In fact, we are to trust that God is working in their lives as we believe He's working in ours. And so we can actually learn and grow together. As followers of Jesus, we live life with God and others. Paul shares the message that God is not a deity to whom we simply bow down and make offerings in the hopes that the odds will turn out in our favor. Rather, he says that God lives around us and yes, even within us. And we live in God. And daily we have the joy and the privilege of being able to commune with God and to be led by Him. And in sharing our faith, we can be reminded that we too have growing and changing to do. And if we're able to do this, we can invite people to be a community of disciples, learning and growing together, rather than to be joining a club where people are expected to join and catch up with everyone else. When we think of not only ourselves, but of everyone as being made in God's image, we're invited into seeing ways that others are trying, the way that God is active in others. Now, this means making space to hear other experiences. It means seeking to understand other contexts. If I'm standing right here, you can't be standing right here. Only I occupy this space. So in order for you to understand my space, you have to be close enough and talking with me. And even more important than talking with me, listening to me. And vice versa. Because you are occupying your own space. And so I can't say, oh, I know exactly what you're thinking. No, you don't. You might think, you might be right next door, but you're not me, and you're not thinking what I'm thinking, nor am I you thinking what you're thinking. So each of our contexts is different. So what might we do so that we can listen and hear about other people's stories? I'd like to ask you to turn the pages of your life backwards and take a moment to think about your own coming to know the Lord experience, your conversion, whether it was over an extended period of time where you spent time with Him and grew in trust of Him and developed your faith in Him, or whether it was something that happened in an instant and you knew in the deepest part of you that there is a God. He had a son named Jesus who died for us, and He loves us no matter how spoiled, how wrinkled, how broken we might be. Think about that experience, short or long, and the people who helped you along the way. How did they meet you where you were? And then how might we be able to do the same for someone else? For you see, we as the church have a responsibility not only to teach, that is to talk, but to listen. And I have somebody who'll sit here tell you that the guy up front talking right now is not all the time the best listener. I'm not. I know that. I need to do better. And I think we can learn from Paul's changing his approach. And instead of talk, 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 he could listen and understand. And by doing so, we won't try to get people to where we are, but we will go to where they are and begin a conversation there. Now, sometimes that conversation may bear fruit immediately. And sometimes it's just the seed that's part of a long journey. Sometimes we learn more about ourselves while we're planting the seeds. Now, I'm going to get off script here because I'm doing pretty good. I'm going to tell you what's on my heart right now. Over the last several weeks, I've had experiences where it's coming through to me loudly and clearly that people are lonely. You could be in a crowd of 10,000 people and be alone. Now, if I'm smart enough to figure that out, I needed help. I wasn't smart enough to figure it out all by myself. It was reinforced by the fact that suicide rates are up. Not for teenagers alone. Not for people in their 30s alone. For every age group, suicides are up. How horrible must it be to feel like your only answer was to end your life? What kind of sadness must be in your life if you think like that? I got a friend. His name is Jesus. He helped me. In my heart, I believe he could help others as well. So I think our task is to find ways of sharing that. And we have to do that by meeting people where they are. That could mean meeting them where they are physically, or designing activities, not programs, please, no programs, where we can have people come to us. Now, we have on our calendar an opportunity to do that. We're calling it help me make sure I get it right, a senior game day. Although I think if a young person would come up on that day, we'd gladly welcome them. Where we're talking about opening the church fellowship hall for people to gather and play games. Not real spiritual, is it? But it's an opportunity for us to be with others. And I don't expect that after one afternoon of senior game day that the sanctuary is going to be filled with people. But we might begin over time to establish connections with people and find out what their needs are, to find out why they're lonely, and to maybe, with the Lord's help, be a cure for some of that loneliness. And I believe that if you look at all of Scripture, God says to us in Scripture that, you know what? You all aren't doing as well as you could. In fact, in many ways, you're doing pretty poorly. And I put you here all that time ago, and I'm coming back. And I'm coming back in the form of my son, who is physically going to be with you. And all that junk that you've got inside you, he's going to take with him to the cross to give you another chance. All you got to do is say, I trust you, for you are trustworthy. Now, our first day, we changed the day to make sure that everybody on the team could be there. September the 28th, I think, is the day, and I'll talk about it more going forward. And we're going to do it from like 1 or 1:30 to 3 or 3:30, something like that. We'll, like I said, more details will be coming. And I'm going to need some help figuring out ways to get the word out. so that others would know that there is an opportunity for them to gather. Now I got to figure out how to get back to to an ending. And I guess I'll say this. I think I said it all. So I'd like you to pray about how you can connect with others. How you can give of your time. Really give of your time. Not be having a conversation while the, you know, there's your own thoughts about, oh, I got the next thing I got to do is this, and I got it. Oh, I have by 3:30. I got to be here. To really give them your time. To listen to them. It'll be good for you. It'll be good for them. And hopefully, it'll help build the kingdom. Amen.